This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also by BlackStarLabs.com. You can save 10% when you put the coupon code FIT10 in at checkout. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 108. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and first off, we have Tony Gentilcore back. Tony Gentilcore of the Boston Herald Step Up blog from CrestedPerformance.com and from GentilcoreTraining.com. What's up, Tony?
How you going? How you doing? Good. I was in New York last weekend, took a little hiatus, but glad to be back.
Yes, it is fantastic to have you back, and for people who want to learn a little bit more about Tony, make sure to tune in after the show. Also, next up, Jonathan Fass of acceleratedstrength.com and jonathanfass.blogspot.com.
Howdy, folks. I just wanted to also say that we're all on the FitCast. We're all happy to see that Tony got everything straightened out with his credit card, and that those charges were indeed legitimate, and that there was no
help. I got that message last week, and I started cracking up. I was on the subway, and I was listening to it. I was like, oh, my God.
Did we record? Did
I totally
we didn't put that in the show,
that.
Did we?
You just brought it up.
Yeah.
Was that in the show?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'll see if...
Yeah, we talked about it. We referred to it in last episode.
And last but not least, we have Lee Peel of AvidityFitness.net. Yes. And the fat loss troubleshooter. What?
No, it's good.
And you can check out our podcast on iTunes as well. What's up, Lee?
Hello. And I have nothing funny to add this week.
Nothing funny. Okay.
No.
Very good. Well, like I mentioned before, we weren't going to have Mike Boyle on this week's show, but we're going to push it back to next week. We're going to have a nice short and condensed show because I will be studying my butt off for CSCS test that I have to take tomorrow. So far, I can say that I feel dumber every minute as I do these practice tests and have to, you know, remember their kind of, I don't really know how to put it, but, you know, questions like they want people to drink orange juice after running for 6 miles for rehydration, which I don't think is like the optimal drink. And they also think soda is a good pre-workout hydration drink as well. Go figure. I didn't know that. So now I know that for the test tomorrow. And I'm not kidding. You can look this up in the book. So Mike Boyle is going to be on next week. Look for him there. Also, the week after that, we're going to have Brad, I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right, Pillion. Did anyone know if I got that right?
I thought it was just one L.
Pylon.
Yeah, I think it's Pylon. I don't know.
I'm sorry, Brad. But we're going to have Brad on the week after that to talk about his book, so that's going to be awesome. We did a midweek show this past week on Wednesday, John and I, and it was a fantastic episode. It was like probably 25 minutes of pure gold that we should have just not have posted online, made an infomercial, and sold for thousands of dollars on TV. Three easy payments of $333. I think that's what
the information contained in that would have solved the economic crisis. I think
it would have.
Yeah,
solved the economic crisis, cured cancer, and showed us how to do faster than light travel through space. There was a lot of stuff in that, but the unfortunate thing is that the audio on my computer was messed up. So whenever you heard John. John would sound like this, and it would. Not so much.
I still think that was a good impression.
But it was great, and we actually had the opening music of Star Wars for our first episode because John thought it was a new beginning. And we ended with the ending of Star Wars music when they're in the throne room.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
So we'll try to re-record it or something.
Yeah, John, you got to speak up a little bit more, if you don't mind.
Oh, come on. Can't hear me?
No, you can speak up a little bit louder, though. That'd be awesome.
All right. Less mumbling, more. More of less mumbling.
All right. That. Or I can just turn everyone up on Skype. I can do that, too. And two more things. The video is going to be incoming. Tony is well aware that we're working on some video at Crescent Performance. We don't have Tony's character really figured out yet. We're working on it.
Oh, yeah. We still, yeah, that's right. We haven't figured that out yet.
But I'm thinking more of like a Dwight character. I'm not sure. But I think you would actually
or,
do that.
Or just a guy that goes around and makes out with hot chicks. That'd be an awesome character. No?
So you really want to break out of your traditional
act? I didn't like the silence there. It was like crickets.
Yeah, that's what they're going to hear in the post-production as well, thanks to the magic.
Are you right? Are you writing the dialogue with this, Kevin? Are you making up characters and whatnot?
Yeah, it's going to be kind of loosely based, and we're also going to have a client, Jason Galley, on it, who's a pretty funny guy as well. And
see, are we just going to film at the facility one of these days? Is that how we're going to do it?
Yeah, that's how we're going to do it. And we're going to do, they're hopefully going to be like 2 minute long episodes, mini episodes. And if we get enough traffic, we're going to try to grow them out a little bit more. But I actually made a little investment purchase this past week, as John is well aware. I bought a new MacBook Pro. But one of the old ones I got because they were on clearance on Amazon, so I got it on clearance plus $150 mail-in rebate, so I got it for pretty cheap. So thank you, Apple, for releasing some new products. So we're going to be doing that. It's going to be really cool, and hopefully we're just going to have more video in general coming to the website, so keep a lookout for that. Also, lastly, I did an interview with Alan Cosgrove for our newsletter subscribers. You got that all in your email this past week. If you're not part of our email list, make sure to go to thefitcast.com and click on the newsletter tab on the top of the website so you can subscribe to that. Alan talked a little bit about how he developed the fat loss programs for Warp Speed Fat Loss. So it was some great stuff in there. And also, Craig Ballantyne is next on deck, and he will be talking probably about some fat loss stuff. I think we're going to be talking about just ways of, you know, trying to keep that holiday weight from going on your body so you don't have to take it off come next year. So some good stuff with Craig, and also Eric Cressy will be on deck after that. So we're going to have a steady stream, one a week, that will be coming out on probably either Tuesday or Thursday. We're going to have it come out in between the midweek shows. So look out for that. So without further ado, we're going to take a quick break right here, but we will be right back around the corner with all of this week's mailbag questions. We'll be right back. First off, for our mailbag this week, we have a question that comes from Ashley. He asks, here's a quick question for the FitCast crew. For the last 6 months, I have become addicted to the Crystal Light brand water packs, green tea, sunrise, red tea, etc. They're sugar-free and make plain water taste quite good. Now, how much of your daily water intake would you say could be made up of these packs? I know drinking plain water is probably better, but this makes me drink more. Thanks. And John, I know we were talking before the show, you were actually doing some research.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a little bit of controversy as far as what sucralose does, what aspartame, and all of these artificial sweeteners. It seems that, relatively speaking, there seems to be more in terms of anecdotal evidence suggesting that they're problems that can occur from intake of sucralose. If you look at the research, it doesn't really filter out that easily. I took a look at one article in the Food and Chemical Journal of Food and Chemical Toxicology. They were looking at It was a 13-week study. They gave 8 subjects, which is not a huge amount. The nice thing I liked about this study is that at least it made an attempt to look at things occurring over time, although even 13 weeks is not an incredibly long period of time. But doses of 1, 2.5, 5, and 10 milligrams per kilogram at 48-hour intervals. So, and then they'd go daily dosing at 2 milligrams per kilogram for 3 days, 5 milligrams for 4 days, blah, blah, blah. Bottom line is they didn't find anything. They did toxicology surveys of the blood and urine and the serum biochemistry, and they didn't find anything alarming there. There were no yellow flags. There was nothing that that might suggest that there is the potential for poisoning or any type of adverse health effects. So I can't really give you a recommendation because I don't think that the jury is completely out. If you look at the animal studies, they don't have any alarm out of them. If you look at the majority of the studies they've done on human subjects, it doesn't seem to be. But it is out there, this concept that there are problems. I know people report headaches, stomach upset. In general, I try to stay away from things that are artificial. So take that for what it's worth. If it's helping you to remain more hydrated, that's, you know, probably a good thing. But ultimately, I think that you have to at least be concerned, but without anything specific out there saying this dose is an overdose or this dose is all right. It's kind of hard to give a recommendation otherwise.
Lee, what are your feelings on this?
As far as using it as your level of hydration, I definitely have a wide range of clients that really just hate to drink their water. They just don't like to do it. And they ask, you know, can I do the Crystal Light thing, or can I, you know, make some green tea and put a little, you know, Splenda in it or stevia or anything like that. And I always tell them if you can get your water in and with as little as calories as possible, then it's usually better than not. It's better to be hydrated with the small chance of there could be a problem. And we know that dehydration and having a bad balance of electrolytes in the body and water and all those kind of things, and so that is a problem. We know that. So since I know that that's a problem, I kind of go by the get it in you any means possible if you have a problem with it. John is absolutely correct as far as his take on these studies. There is absolutely nothing that really says anything specific. Obviously, there are some points and some directions in which you can look at it, but again, there's nothing that's really been found to be dangerous. There is one study that I saw with rats, but the intake was
like so superhuman. Yeah,
like it was. You could not, I mean, you basically would have to be like, you know, mainlining this stuff like through your body for like 24 hours. So mm-hmm. it's just not possible. The only things that have somewhat been, and it's still a little hazy, is to some degree it can affect, something that it could affect ghrelin or appetite and cause some sort of like falsified hunger issues for some people. But again, that can be. You know, the study was kind of in. So I 100% agree with John. If it can get you hydrated, then go for it. Other, you know, I go with water. I go with water as much as possible, but that doesn't mean that I don't have a little bit of a Splenda or some Dr. Pepper or whatever, you know. So I just kind of keep it at a small amount. That's...
Sorry, before we do go to Tony, just to let people know, the audio cut out for a second, but we are all set now, so we only lost about 5 seconds of Lee's talk. But Tony, I know you've talked about water consumption a lot in the past on your blog. What do you think?
I mean, there's really nothing I can say that John and Lee haven't already alluded to. The only suggestion I would give people is I used to be a somewhat big Crystal Light guy, but kind of fallen more so in the middle of it now. But I mean, I would say try to dilute it. You know, I've even gone to the extent of taking one of those packets and putting it in an entire gallon rather than, I don't know what they usually recommend as a serving. Is it like 2 quarts or something like that? But I usually just say try to dilute it a little bit. But certainly I agree with Lee. You know, we know that hydration is kind of a big deal. We need to be hydrated, so if getting in some crystal light, using some artificial sweeteners helps you get and stay hydrated, then, you know, I'm all for it. But certainly, I would much prefer regular water as much as possible. But I'm not one of those guys that's totally opposed to people using artificial sweeteners. I just don't think it should encompass their entire water intake, which I know a lot of people do. So, I think that's for what it's worth. But I would just say dilute it and, you know, try to not rely on it quite as much as you think you need to be relying on it.
And I think there may also be other options, too. I mean, I know people that'll, you know, kind of water down juice or something. You know, squeeze a lemon into a pitcher of water or something, or an orange or whatever, you know, you kind of enjoy. So you may be able to try some other things and find that you like those options equally or better, or at least not so badly that you're, you know, don't want to drink anymore. So I would say that, you know, chances are it's probably all right. But again, I mean, I think that it's very hard to make recommendations, but there may be some other options that you could explore as well that might be healthier in the long term, possibly.
Yeah, and speaking of options, I actually, you know, what John just, you know, reminded me when he said, you know, doing lemon juice and stuff. When I was out in Vegas, I never heard about this before, but in one of the fitness centers that I trained in, they had water with cut up cucumbers in it.
Yeah, that's good.
That actually tasted really good. I was really surprised at how good that tasted. So that could be an option as well. I mean, you just dice up some cucumbers and put it in a, you know, a Brita thing or whatever, and it actually tastes really good.
Yeah.
Very good. We have a couple questions about soy protein, but we'll kind of tackle those individually. The first one from Sam. Kevin, I am hearing a lot about the negative effects of soy protein for men, specifically the issue of raising your estrogen levels or lowering testosterone. I've recently avoided tofu and soy milk to my diet, and in an attempt to keep up the protein, avoid the lactose, and lower the fat. I'm sorry, he said I recently added tofu. I don't know if I got that point across. I think I went the other way. But if you guys could throw this one around, that would be great. I love the show, and it was a great surprise after I stumbled on it across it on iTunes. P.S. I am doing the P90X routine, and I will let you know what I think. I am a diehard weightlifting guy, but I'm not able to get to the gym due to the kids and work, so this was a good compromise for now. Thanks again, Sam. And just to kind of pull this all together, we also have another question from Stanley, who asks, I was wondering if you guys could talk about the difference between soy and whey protein, the pros and cons of each, and your preferences. And again, that's from Stanley. So, Tony, we'll start off with you.
You know what? I blogged about soy quite a bit. I used to be one of those guys of anti-soy. I still kind of am to a degree. I don't like when people go out of their way to add more soy to their diet, because, I mean, it's really in everything we eat. I mean, you look at the ingredients of tuna fish, of, you know, just about anything you can think of, there's a soy product in there. So you really aren't going to get away from it no matter what. I'm just not a fan of people going out of the way adding tofu burgers. I mean, for all I know, there's tofu ice cream. I have no idea, but people fail to forget that, you know, the soy that like Asian countries eat is a fairly natural whole source, whereas the soy that we eat over here is very, 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 very processed. It's like night and day. But you know, like I said, I used to be the guy that was anti-soy entirely. I'm like, avoid it. But now I'm in a camp where, you know, I mean, after listening to Cassandra talk about, you know, quite a bit, and, you know, other people in the industry, it's not the evil stepmother that, you know, everyone makes it out to be. But certainly, I mean, it comes down to the choices you make and the products you buy. So I think the more natural whole sources you can get of soy, rather than the highly processed, like frozen entrees, you know, and stuff like that, I think you're better off. And I know, you know, Lee's more of a nutrition person than I am, so she'll probably have a little bit more to elaborate on. But that's my stance on it. I don't like it when people go out of their way to add more of it into their diet, because, I mean, you're going to get it in no matter what. So, I mean, that's my stance on it.
Lee, what do you think?
I'll hit the differences.
I mean, you're a woman. You must have a lot of soy protein in your diet. I don't. I debated whether to say that.
I'll hit the difference between the soy and the whey. Just an amino acid profile. Soy has a pretty basic. I mean, it's okay. Amino acid profile. Both have about the same rate of insulin raise activity in them, and this is also, of course, comparing if you're. It's the difference between isolates. Things like that. So as far as there being a really big bio difference or amino acid profile difference or anything like that, it's not too large. It's just a little different. So I just wanted to address that. As far as a personal preference, I don't really eat any soy. I don't like it. It's just, it never comes into my diet really. So that's just on a personal preference. As far as the dangers, yeah, it's totally going to make you gay. I mean, there's just no way around it if you...
Wow.
And you know, so worry about that. No, it's a lot of it is just completely hype. There's absolutely no study proof on it that shows that properly fermented, isolated soy protein powder, anything that is of a good pure soy, has any sort of problems. The flip side of it is it's wrongly processed, like badly fermented. The kind of soy that we are finding in the very tail end of small ingredients at the end of processed food, Morningstar products, things like that, it's not conclusive. It's still kind of up in the air whether or not those bad estrogens could cause a problem. If it did, it would have to be, it seems, in a very large amount, make a very big part of your diet, and would pretty much have to be like that's all you ate. And even then, only to certain populations could it probably pose a problem. The simple truth of it is we don't know yet. It's just too early to say either way that kind of a soy could be a problem. It's more than likely, though, that it's only going to be a problem if it's in a large amount and makes up a whole part of your diet and you're kind of a more sensitive person to it. I've known a lot of vegans and a lot of vegetarian lifters, and I've trained a lot of them, and a lot of people take in soy isolate. If you're going to take in soy, that is the kind of soy that I personally support. As far as its health benefits and what it claims to do, I kind of have a mixed relationship with soy because I really hate how the media and the government and everyone has put a spin on soy the way they hand to basically try and make it the new, corn, if you will. As far as, it saves this for osteoporosis. Oh, it does this for the heart. Oh, there's really nothing to show that it does that. And it's no, soy is not some sort of magical thing. And that's kind of where my irritant is with it. It irritates me, the false claims that people make about soy in a positive and in a negative aspect. There's a middle ground, and it's always best to just go with the whole food or an isolate of it if you're going for a protein powder source. So that's my pull, and it'll make you gay.
So, John, how do you feel?
Well, I don't know about the gay research, so.
Have you not seen that? It's hilarious.
Yeah, I guess not. Now, I think Lee touched on it also about vegetarian versus non-vegetarian. I think the research that I've seen, I'm just kind of strumming through the Journal of American College of Nutrition, some of the studies that they've looked at there, found one study specifically about the resistance exercise in young men, and they compared milk proteins versus soy proteins and did find a difference. Amino acid delivery associated with milk versus hydrolyzed soy proteins, which I thought was interesting. I basically, pretty much agree with what Lee said. If you're a vegetarian, if you have a limited opportunity for protein sources, then soy would probably be a good option, and it's one of the few options you would have. If you don't have that limitation, I would probably say then, relatively speaking, stay away from it. Certainly not in large quantities. It's okay to have a soy latte if that's your if that's your desire, but you know, maybe using soy supplements might not be indicated in that case, especially if you don't have those dietary restrictions. Jury's out a little bit, like Lee was saying, as far as what it actually does. You have people on both sides of the fence and very knowledgeable people, far more knowledgeable in this situation than I would be, telling you some are, hey, not a problem. Some say, well, just taking small amounts, and others saying, you know what, don't go near this stuff. So I generally stay away from it if I can. I don't freak out about it if I'm working with someone that has to do that for dietary reasons.
What do you guys think about the...
Sorry, Kevin, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Tony. Go ahead. I apologize.
I remember reading a book. It was called The Whole Soy Story. It's by a woman named Kayla Daniel. She made a lot of good points in the sense that, you know, even, you know, people always say, like, oh, you know, what about people in Asian countries? They eat a ton of soy and they never have any issues. It's like their diet doesn't really consist of all that much soy. I forget the actual number, but I want to say it was definitely under 10% of their diet is based off of soy. So for all those people out there who always rebut with that remark, you know, it's not true. It is a good book. I mean, her book is, you know, very, very, very anti-soy, you know, which is great. I mean, it brings up a lot of good points, but, you know, I'm sure there's other books out there that are very pro-soy. And, you know, Lee and John have alluded to, it's like, you know, it's somewhere in the middle. But certainly, again, I just wouldn't go out of your way to add more of it into your diet already. We kind of... that horse of that. But Kevin, I'll let you go ahead. My bad.
Well, I was just going to say, like, in the last 10 years or so, we've seen it pop up in a ton of things, especially in those foods that people are using on the go, and Lee kind of alluded to this. Things like snack bars, and it's showing up in tons of cereals now, especially...
Soy Joy.
Yeah, especially things that are targeted towards women. So, I don't know where I was really trying to go with it, but it just seems...
I would just say the one instance where I would absolutely say it's retarded to take soy is when you see it in infant formulas.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of companies have backed off from that now, because I know, you know, in the 90s and whatnot, like, the marketing for soy is like the new miracle health food, you know, went overboard. I mean, and that's where we start seeing it everywhere, but... when you start, you know, having mothers, you know, feeding infant formulas with soy, where it's based out of soy to especially, you know, male infants, not a very good idea.
You know what we need is we need a baby formula made by BioTest for young for young boys.
I'm sure they're working on it, actually.
See, like, omega-3s with, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what would be
there. Could call it like hyper fetus or something like that. You can tap it in while the child's still in the womb.
Nice. You know, and I was going to follow up on what you were saying, Kevin, because I think where you're going with that is the fact that it's an industry just like anywhere else, and they have an agenda just like the milk, you know, cow dairy
corn.
Association has an agenda just like, you know, anything, any other. Large corporate entity does, and soy certainly has that same profile. So there may be some good in it, there may not be, but whatever we're seeing is an advertised and pushed concept. So, you know, the idea that soy is good for you, maybe it might do some things. There certainly seems to be that case. Is soy bad for you? Well, there seems to be some other areas that's pointing to that as well. But most of the time when you hear things, you know, I don't want to sound like a certain vice presidential nominee, but the media can you know, put things the way that it wants to, you know, for its own agenda. So I think he was also asking about, you know, a way that he could lower fat, maintain protein levels, lower fat, and avoid lactose. And to me, you know, fat levels is you know, arguable as well as far as what might be healthy, what's not healthy. A point I was talking to Cassandra the other day, and I thought she made a really interesting point, saying that if you know, saturated fats were so bad, why did the prevalent fat in mother's milk? So I just thought that was interesting. But in general, that just says to me, then avoid whole milk. I personally don't have any milk in my diet. There's been I seem to get a little bit of an allergic reaction to it, so I've cut that out entirely from my diet, and I feel great. I have no problems, and my protein is up. Lean meats, you know, other sources of protein. There are other sources besides whole milk. So I think that you could look at some different things and not have to supplement with soy just to keep your protein up.
Very good. I think that's a discussion that we're going to come back to more in the future. It seems like.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a huge debate. I mean, we could go back and forth on this forever.
Yep.
The next question, or I should say our last question before the bonus question that will come after the end of the credits, comes from, I'm just going to say AK. You know who you are. It says, "Hey, Kevin, I am training a friend who cannot go to a gym and am using bands. I'm having an issue with finding good hamstring exercises without weights. She can use her body weight or bands. Thanks for the help." And the first thing that popped into my head was a Tony is a client of ours that Mr. Jenny, who we had to do we had him do hamstring curls while lying down on his stomach on a bench. We had him do hamstring curls with a band around his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed to be one of the first things that popped into my head.
Yeah, well, that would be an option. I mean, we did it with him more so because he was coming off of hip surgery.
Yeah, but I mean, there's obviously other things like you can start doing single legged deadlifts, and the other thing you got to keep in mind is just because you don't have weights doesn't mean you don't have things you can use for weight in your house, whether it be gallons of water, things like that. I'm sorry, but if anyone else wants to jump in, feel free to start yelling.
I mean, all I'll say is, I mean, you can do a ton of single leg stuff. I mean, that's going to hit your hamstrings. I mean, just, you know, depending on, like, you a walking lunge, for example, I mean, using a longer stride is going to emphasize more hamstrings than it would quads. But, like you said, single leg deadlifts, one-legged squats, reverse lunges, all that stuff is gonna work. And then with the band, you can just do Bulgarian split squats with the band, just sort of loop it around the neck and around the opposite foot. Those are ones off the top of my head I can think of.
Yeah, I was first I would suggest going on Amazon. You could probably get this for $3, but Men's Health Home Workout Bible. I've always loved that book for body weight exercises or limited materials exercises. It was probably written like 10, 20 years ago, and it's still really good. Other than that, I think exactly any exercise that you could think of with resistance, you can do with limited resistance with a band or body weight. And I think what fools people sometimes, you'll hear us all talk about, you know, glute weakness or glute dysfunction or posterior chain weakness and all this stuff. So we'll give you a few exercises to do, and you'll do them and think, well, this is easy, so I must not have an issue, or maybe I'm a lot stronger than they're saying I am. And we have to remember what happens when you have a dysfunction. You're not going to automatically just fix it. What you're going to do is your body's already found a million different strategies to work around that dysfunction, and it'll continue to do so. So we'll take a supine bridge, which is one of my favorite glute exercises. We can use it as a dynamic warm-up, and we can also use it as an exercise in and of itself. You're laying on your back. You've got your knees flexed, and you're going to, you know, raise the hips. Most people are going to do this and not have a problem. They could do 1,000 of them. The problem is that you're bending on your lumbar spine. You're not actually causing hip extension. You're causing lumbar spine extension. And you see this over and over and over and over again. So you can take very simple exercises that you probably think are so simple they're not worth it and realize that you may not be actually doing them properly, and that's why they seem simple, because you're feeding into a dysfunction rather than through it. So things like supine bridges things like step-ups, reverse lunges, Romanian deadlifts with the bands. Conventional deadlifts with the bands can also be done. You can do like a Y good morning, where you're just holding your arms up overhead and then performing a good morning exercise and using the lever on the increased force from the physics of extending your arm as the resistance. There's a lot of things that you can do. Your challenge is to figure out that you're doing them right or wrong. If you do them right, they're actually a lot harder than you probably suspect at this point.
Lee, do you have anything else that you think you could try out?
That was pretty good from John. You know, I have a lot of clients. I'm just going to throw it, because John basically really, I mean, you really covered it, John. But I have a couple of little things that I have clients do. If you're this is kind of a little bit more band or home specific, you can do four-way band movements just by utilizing a chair or just anything that is a strong and steady force that you can tie a band to. And, you know, you move in four directions, north, east, west, south, and just kind of keep turning. And I know it sounds a little bit out there, but wide stance, stiff leg, deadlifting, couches, beds. I mean, you've got heavy stuff in your home. Utilize it for what you have. I have many of people that have you know just lifted up their couch, and it does something for a lot of women, you know, specifically if this is all you have, and just get creative, and that's basically it, because John covered it pretty well.
Good job, John.
Oh, thanks, guys.
I
have
love
a little
you,
tear coming down my cheek.
I mean,
too bad.
Yeah. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us here on the main show. Again, don't forget to check out the end credits before we...
Well, and speaking of the end credits, can I just say, like, the email that was sent, who's the guy that sent the email?
Your hero?
What's his name?
Josh.
Yeah. Josh. Yeah. So I didn't read it until, like, right before we started the show, so I didn't really have a good rebuttal, so I sound like a guy just got hit by a Max Rocket.
You had 2 weeks to read it, bro.
Yeah.
You did not send it to me until today.
I sent it to you last week, and you delete all your email.
Well, I deleted it, but anyways, you know, I didn't have I don't have any. I suck. that's just it. So whatever. We've come to a compromise. Everyone will listen to it as far as what that compromise is, and you know, long live Lord of the Rings.
Not so much. The last thing I want to mention, Lee, is there anything going on at avidityfitness.net?
I just launched the 30-day fitness challenge, and it has had a fantastic response. I've got, I think we're up at like 80 some comments now, and I think I got like 15 or 16 participants. Basically what it is it's just fun. It's 30 days, it's free, and it's just to get you to stick to your diet, and the concept is based upon the big meal, and I'm absolute genius, and you can go read more about that. And if you want to join the challenge, you have until tomorrow to officially join. So it should be fun, and there's lots of people doing it.
Very cool. Again, everyone head over to avidityfitness.net to check that out. You can also check out Lee and I at twitter.com/LeePeel and Kevin Larrigan, respectively. And we're still waiting for John and Tony to get on board of that. John, how about you? Do you think you might blog this week?
Yeah, you know, I blogged in the beginning of the week, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
And, I did get a nice response off of that, so it was
you're featured
cool
in
blog.
The best of the blogs for the Fitcast.
I know. Yeah. I know. That immediately went on my curriculum vitae.
Did you tell the relatives?
Yeah. They got the phone call.
Good. Tony, well, how about you? What's going on at the Boston Herald Step Up blog?
I continue to do my blog here and there. Nothing really set in mind. I usually just blog whatever's at the top of my head that day. But I have a couple articles that I started that I know I've been talking about for the past few months, but I'll get them done and continue to blog, and hopefully get a new website up and going in the next few weeks or month or so. So we'll see what happens.
Also, there is some competition for everyone now that Mike Boyle has entered the world of blogging. He has a blog set up now at mboyle1959.wordpress.com, and he's like in a fury. He's blogged every single day this week, even blogged yesterday and today.
Yeah, I just saw that today, actually. I was really excited about it. I saw it, I think it was through Valley Waters Twitter or something like that, and I was like, oh, wow. So it looked good.
Yeah, no, he's definitely coming along, and we got his whole schedule for this upcoming year where he will be coming to Boston, the Boston area, so people make sure to check that out, and hopefully maybe we can do like a FitCast meetup or something along those lines, but there's good news all around. So that's going to do it for us this week. Again, next week we will have Mike Boyle on the show, so continue to send in your questions. We already get a bunch, but if you want, please continue to send them, and make sure to check out thefitcast.com. Send us some voicemails, folks. I was talking to John. We have no voicemail so far. What's the deal? You guys shy? It's no problem. You know, just give us a call. It's 978-633-3488 and leave a message. That's all you get to do. And you can also, if you want to do it through Twitter or email, you can do that. You can get the details on how to do that at thefitcast.com. You can even just send an MP3 to questions@thefitcast.com. Do all that good stuff. So we're going to head out. Again, don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. Check out everyone else's sites. And Lord of the Rings socks. Ghostbusters is awesome.
You play Ghostbusters.
But we can only play 15 seconds, so we'll see you later. See you next week.
I ain't afraid of no ghost.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 108. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and first off, we have a very important email message from one of our listeners, so we're going to go right into that before anything else happens on the show. We briefly mentioned it last week, and we wanted to make sure we talked about it this week. And this is it's a very important email from Josh. And Josh, I just want to thank you for bringing this to our attention. But his email, he writes, "How is Tony going to bash Stargate when he falls asleep in Barnes & Noble reading The Lord of the Rings? I mean, seriously, effing elves. Really, F elves." And I'm cutting out the swears. Though Fox does show reruns of SG-1 and or Atlantis on the weekend at like 1 or 3 in the morning, maybe it was a little Freudian slip in late at night with the windows shut, the lights off, and the doors locked. Tony walks around in his underwear holding a staff yelling, "Cree Jaffa," all while eating turkey tits. Maybe when Stargate Worlds goes live, we could drag Tony away from his World of Warcraft intoxication of staring at female blood elves that are really dudes in real life, and his hunt for the Professor Plums. His hunt for Professor Plums. Then, to kill two birds with one stone, we could force him to play Stargate Worlds and devote 5 minutes of every episode to talking about all the wacky adventures he is having. This would somewhat satisfy the request for Kevin to do his gaming podcast again, and ultimately bring me joy to hear Tony bitch about Stargate every episode. Or at least get him to play Call of Duty 4, and when you kill him with a P90, scream out, "You got Stargated, bitch!" Or "Daniel Jackson owns you." That's always fun. That's from Josh. And a couple things before we let Tony have his rebuttal. A, I want to apologize to Seth Gibson, who I talked about Call of Duty 4 on Twitter this week, and he works on the Halo team at Bungie. So I'm sorry about that, Seth. I will play more Halo. And B, I actually did play enough Call of Duty so I could use the P90. Whenever I see a P90 in that game, I pick it up and use it because that's like the greatest gun of all time. It's the main gun they use in Stargate Atlantis. And C, I got no C. Tony, what's up?
Oh, man, where do I begin?
Oh, and for people...
I will give that was actually a really good email. Like, it must have taken at least, I don't know, 10 minutes to write. First of all, factually, I fell asleep in Barnes and I didn't necessarily fall asleep in Barnes and Noble, as opposed to just kind of like dozing off a little bit. And I never read Lord of the Rings at Barnes and Noble. Chicks, that's just not. I don't know. Chicks wouldn't necessarily dig that. And let's do this, Kevin. I will watch one episode of Stargate. Was Stargate what? Nerd World?
Stargate. I'd pick like probably season 7, or if you really want to start at a good season, maybe either the beginning of season 1 if you want to start at the beginning, or season 7.
Well, how about, why don't you just, you know, DVD me one episode or whatever. I'll watch it, and then I'll try not to vomit in my mouth while I watch it, and then maybe start talking about it each week and how much I hate it.
Well, the thing is that I don't get that you don't like. Are you haven't even seen Stargate yet? You're easy to dismiss it. Are you? Although you love Star Wars,
and you love
Lord of the Rings, the two geekiest films ever. You know, I'm serious, and I'm not like saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but we're talking about people who control things with their effing mind, all right? We're talking about a fake little, I don't know what the Schmeagle person is. I don't know what kind of animal he is. I don't know if he's a person that just got, you know, a bad roll of the dice, but that's just stupid. Like, the thing with Stargate is it's like real world kind of situations because it takes place in present day. So it's a little bit more easy for people to relate to it.
Hold on a second. Did I just hear you say that was real world situations and therefore
it's kind of like Iraq. That was a joke.
Yeah.
Well, John, you watched Stargate Atlantis on Friday.
Yeah, you were watching it, you called me up. I'm flipping channels. I'm like, "Wait, this is what you're watching?" It looked like a Lord of the Rings elf with like holes in his face. It looked like a Lord of the Rings elf on crack. That's what you were watching.
Well, it was a fantastic episode. I mean, it was an 8 out of 10. It wasn't some of their highest stuff, but I think, Tony, I'll let you borrow one of the movies.
They made movies out of them?
Yeah, out of the television series. They've made two movies so far. Which also kind of makes it, you know, sound like it was something that was popular. But what I'll do is I'll bring that in. I'll bring in Stargate Continuum, which is kind of a standalone DVD. You can watch it and enjoy it. It has, obviously by the title, it has something to do with time travel a little bit. So I think you can enjoy that. And I'll see what happens. It's an hour and a half long. It's not even that long. It's like an hour and 20 minutes.
Sure. But nothing would brighten my day up more than to watch one of those episodes.
Okay. Well, we'll do that. Lee, what do you think? How much Stargate do you watch every week?
Okay, so I don't watch Stargate, but I had to go on the site and look at, you know, some of the episode listings and see what this.
Are you on GateWorld.net?
I'm on Stargate Atlantis main site, okay, and I'm seeing some freaky looking people things.
Well, it takes place
like
in another galaxy.
There's no Iraq going on here, okay? I'm gonna read what I found here. Dr. Daniel Jackson and Dr. Rodney McKay have been forced to reactivate the arterial device, a machine designed thousands of years ago to annihilate In doing so, they discover the reason the device is ultimately abandoned in its ancient creator while destroying the Wraith. What is it?
Wraith
ships that attempt to travel through hyperspace. The weapon inadvertently causes active Stargates to self-destruct.
I know.
Yeah, that happened last week in Iraq.
Well, what I'm trying to say, I should try to say is that, you know, in the beginning of the series, what they had to do was they only had Earth technology, and that's why they kind of started the Stargate program after they found the Stargates to go search out and look for stuff that will help, you know, be used as defense or for obviously weapon capabilities. So that's what they did. And
sci-fi is fun.
Well, maybe they'll have spin-offs called, like, Stargate Project Runway and Stargate Top Chef.
Actually, they do. They just announced a spin-off they're going to have called Stargate Universe, which is going to be a lot like Star Trek Voyager, but in the Stargate Universe. And this is for you, Tony. How can you not love that? It's epic. You know, it's a great soundtrack. And I think everyone should go out there, buy the DVD sets, and watch it on Sci-Fi at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard and Pacific. So that's it. And we're putting this at the end of the show. This is not going to be our real beginning of the show, because we get killed.
Yeah.
All right. Any other last comments?
I'm convinced.
Live long and prosper, Kevin.
Well, I signed up for the Stargate Worlds beta, so if it does turn out to be good, I'll bring in my laptop and I'll let Tony fool around with it. I'm sure he can figure it out. So.
Yeah, I just have so much free time in the day to play video games.
Yep. All right. Hope everyone enjoyed that email.